Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to finish up our series since January has ended. It's going to be our last Sunday in January. Next Sunday's already February. It's hard to believe it's already. We're in the second month. It's going to be this week. And so we're just very glad that you're here. Glad that you're watching online. I miss my wife. She's on a little vacation this week. She may be watching online. So just a big shout out to my wife. And for those who are down in Florida, my mother-in-law, father-in-law, and all those down there in Florida, I just want to say hi to you. So we're praying for you. Enjoying that warm weather down there when we're up here freezing to death. It's going to be a tough week this week. You know, be ready for this week, right? And it's going to be a tough week weather-wise. So we're going to be in 1 Timothy 6. And so we're going to pray hard this year. We want to love well. We want to grow stronger. We want to reach further. And so we're going to talk about financial health today. And you're like, wow, money on a time like this and things are so uncertain. Yes, I think it's very needed because things are so uncertain. It's like, how are we supposed to be spiritually well off, so to speak, in the Lord? We're going to talk about that. And does God give us principles to guide us in handling His stuff? Because it's all His stuff, right? He's the owner. We're just the manager. We got to get that first nail down, right? And so we're going to see these principles in 1 Timothy 6. We're going to see some warnings. We're going to see some caution. And then lastly, we're just going to see just some guidelines and principles to handling God's resources, all right? Because remember, God wants us to be, what, spiritually rich. Our souls to be strong, to be in love with Him, to be relationally rich, to be in love with other people. And that could be different situations, different relationships. And now we're dealing with the relationship with money, right? And sometimes it's a love-hate relationship. Never a love relationship, right? It's always more of a hate relationship sometimes. But we want to reach further because guess what? If we invest in God's kingdom, we can reach further of the gospel. Part of our commission is to help reach the world, right? We can't do it all, but we can do our part. And so God wants us to be faithful so we can give to make a difference in this world. And that's why we're here. So God wants us to understand some financial health, right? And so I hate going to the doctor. Anybody else hate going to the doctor? Getting an annual checkup. My wife goes, it's January, it's your annual checkup time. And it's like, oh great, I think I'm going to call in sick. Right, I get all worked up about it. You got to fast. You got to do all these kinds of things. Do blood draws. They quit doing needles on me because they knew better. So I just kept passing out. They called my wife and say, "Hey, you got to come pick your husband up. We can't let him drive home today. He's passed out." So my wife gets all upset and she's like, "I can't believe you did it again." It's like, you should have went with me. You know, you got to schedule something. You got to go with me. All right, just in case. But financial health, and so it's always a good time in January or December, beginning of the year, to kind of look forward to what's coming next. So try to anticipate the year, try to look at your budget, try to go from there, hey, where we're currently at, what we got to deal with, what are some plans we need to make, all those kinds of things. And so God wants us to be spiritually wealthy, but He also wants us to be financially wise. Does that make sense? Now, we're going to get into some principles here, and most of the principles are heart-related issues when it comes to money or attitudes that we have towards money. So we're going to see four dangers from this passage in 1 Timothy. Then we're going to look at four proper attitudes we need to have about money, and then how are we supposed to handle God's money. So we're going to give some principles here, all right? So, four dangers here. We're going to look at 1 Timothy. We're going to start in verse 6. We're going to start in verse 6 of chapter 6. I'm going to read to verse 10, then we're going to pick back up in verse 17. Paul says, "But godliness with contentment is what? Great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it." That's a great principle, right? But if we have food and clothing, we should be content with that. People who want to be rich or get rich fall into temptation and a trap or a snare and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. So Paul talks about great gain, but also great pain when it comes to handling money. Notice verse 10, the warning. "For the love of money is a root," not the root. It's a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. That's the danger. That's the warning. Verse 17, command those who are rich in this present world. And if you make more than $20,000 a year, you're considered rich in from many parts of the world. Always remember that. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is what? So uncertain. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for what? Our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Here's some proper things we should be doing. And in this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So Paul is reminding Timothy, he's reminding the church at Ephesus, hey, there's dangers, but I want you to take hold of something. It's more than just management of money. Take hold of the life that's truly life. So God wants us to prosper in our souls and in our bodies. He wants us to prosper in things in this world, right? We're going to see that. But we have to do it in a way that honors Him. Okay? So then we're going to see success in our life when we do it His way. And so there's four attitudes, there's four dangers we want to stay away from here. And the number one is a self-sufficient attitude. So he says in verse 17, command those who in this present world not to be arrogant or to be high-minded or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. So it's that self-sufficient attitude. It's like, well, this is the work of my own hands. I created all this stuff by myself. And Paul's like, no, you brought nothing in. You brought take nothing out. So it's all of God who has blessed you with what you have. Right? And so we can't think that we've done this on our own. God has given us the ability to have things and blesses us. And we ought to be grateful for all that He's given to us. In Deuteronomy 8, I want to read some verses in the Old Testament here. Remember, God had brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery, went through the desert. They were on the edge of the promised land. And Moses gives this word of caution. Notice this. He says, beware that you forget the Lord your God, and not keeping His commands and His judgments and His statutes, which I command you this day. Keep going. Lest when you have eaten and are full and hast built, you built your houses and dwelt therein. So this is the King James Version. I'm not used to that version. Some of you have that. So it reads a little different. Keep going. So when you get in the land, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied. Notice verse 14. When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord, He's brought you out of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Keep going. One more. He's led you through the waters in the wilderness and the fiery serpents, the scorpions and drought where there is no water and brought forth water and the rock from the flint. He's reminding them of God's provision. And then he talks about, hey, God has tested us and brought us to this place for a reason. When you get in there and all these things increase, be careful that you forget the Lord who's done all these things for you. It's God who's given you the ability to create all the things that you have. And sometimes we forget that, right? We forget where we've been. We forget what God has done, and so He's reminding us, hey, when things increase, don't think it's because of a self-sufficient attitude, I created all of this. God says, no, everything is from my hand to you. Everything. Now, there's some wisdom that we get from His hand, and we should be wise with what He has, right? But we're not to think to be arrogant about it or to be high-minded about it. No, God's testing us. So I want you to think about it this way. God is, everything he's given to you, He's given you a pass-fail test, right, as we're going to see. You're either going to be wise with it or you're going to be foolish with it. There's only two options. Or you're going to waste it. And so we don't want to waste what God has given to us, right? We want to be faithful with it, as we're going to see. But God is teaching us a lot about life when times get tough, right? there's going to be wilderness times. There's going to be tough times. There's going to be scorpions, serpents coming around. It's like there's going to be trials. There's going to be different things that's going to happen to us. And God's searching our hearts. He's testing our hearts to see what's in here. Hey, if we're going to trust God no matter what, are we going to obey God no matter what? And the second attitude we got to be careful about is this using godliness as a means for gain. Now go back to verses 3 to 5. And so Paul is given another warning here. He says, if anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree with the sound instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching. Notice how it's all centered around Christ. A Christ-centered theology, right? That's very, very important. And to godly teaching. So a relationship with God should lead to a godly life. Godly speech, godly attitudes, godly relationships. I want to be like Christ, right? Because I'm in love with Christ. He says, if anyone does not agree, he's conceited, understands nothing, he has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions. The list is not pretty there. And constant friction between men of corrupt minds who've been robbed of the truth. Now notice this last phrase. And who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. And so here's the danger. When you talk about, hey, God wants to prosper you, he wants you to be successful. Well, it all depends on God's definition of success, right? God wants us to be wise and instruct us and teach us to have wisdom in this life, right? So God's always doing that. So we can prosper spiritually in relationships. He's given us all these principles. But here's what happens. We leverage, and this is what Paul is saying the danger is, we leverage our relationship with God to think that, hey, God is rich, so therefore I should be. You see the connection? They think that my relationship with God determines or ought to determine that I should be wealthy. And that's a dangerous attitude to have. You can't make that leap. Because of my position in Christ, yes, I'm spiritually rich. Yes, I have everything I need, right? Heaven is my home, right? He's promised to provide everything. But there is a danger in thinking, this is where the Pharisees had this in Luke 16, and Jesus talked about that attitude. And so because of my relationship with God, then we should be. Well, there's nothing wrong if God allows you to be. Does that make sense? Nothing wrong with that. But if you're thinking that because of, then I should have, that's a dangerous attitude to have. Some people think, well, Jesus was rich. No, he wasn't. He had to borrow a donkey, right? He slept on rocks and in the wilderness, and it's like he knew his time was short, though. He wasn't married, he didn't have kids. I mean, he saved a lot of money, right? He knew he was only going to be here for 3.5 years. I mean, it's, you know, as far as ministry, but he was here for 33 years. But he lived with purpose. He knew who he was. He knew where he was going. And so you and I have a purpose here. We have a mission to accomplish. We should never forget that. It's always mission first, right? Mission first in our life. And so we can't think that... And no matter who tells you, and this is what Paul is saying, no matter who tells you, whether it's a guy on TV or whatever it is, you hear it on the radio, telling you, hey, that should be a warning flag when they say, hey, you should be prosperous and wealthy because you're a Christian. That's that grinds me, right, when I hear that. Because they're not thinking about true prosperity. They're thinking about things on this earth. So the prosperity gospel has ruined a lot of different people's lives. It's ruined their relationship with God, too. Because when God doesn't give them what they want, then they get mad at God. They'll think, well, why? What's happened here? Was I taught wrong? What's wrong here? And so they sometimes wander away from the truth, as Paul says in chapter 6, because they're disappointed with God. And you can't get there, right? Amen? Life can be disappointing, yes, but God never disappoints me. Because when things happen that are hard or trialsome, God always comes through for what I need. He always provides for what I need. Amen? So he never disappoints. The third one is the love of money, which many of us know. We quote that verse, you know, the love of money is not the root of all evil, it's a root. And so there's other roots for sin. And so greed comes from this love for money. In Ephesians 5:5, Paul calls greed idolatry. Jesus says in Matthew, he says, no one can serve what? Two masters. He's going to love one and hate the other. Right? And so there's that love-hate relationship with money. And so God's like, if you love me first, just stay in love with me. That's all I'm asking you to do. Love other people. Love one another. That's all I'm asking you to do. Just be spiritually and relationally rich in me and with other people. Just focus there. So Jesus says what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and everything else will be taken care of. So if we focus right, our reach will be further. We won't have to worry about stuff if my relationship with God and other people are right. Because I know God's going to provide. So we have to be careful for the love of money. It's a dangerous love game, right? The last one is covetousness and envy. So Luke 12, there's a parable there. I want you to go back and read on your own. But covetousness is a desire to have simply because I see someone else have it. Or a lifestyle that I'd like to have. That's covetousness. So we have to be careful of that desire, right? So covetousness is a wrong desire to have. Envy, Proverbs says, envy can rot the bones. Notice this next slide here. Talks about this warning sign. It says, welcome to envy. Don't stay too long. Right? Envy causes comparison. God's not fair perspective. Why is he blessing them and not me? And so you compare all these kinds of things with when it comes to God's blessings. And it's not healthy. It's not healthy to be covetous, nor is it healthy to be envious. It rots the bones. It causes us to be spiritually unhealthy. And God doesn't want that, right? So improving your life is one thing. Does that make sense? It's like, hey, due to inflation, whatever dollar amount I make an hour no longer fits. And this is what's happening in our economy. It's jumped so much over the years, but people's pay scale has stayed the same. I got a quarter raise. I got 50 cents raise. Well, inflation's been $2 and $3 every year. So they're way behind the curve. And so if you need to jump to improve your life, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay? Everybody say that. There's nothing wrong with that. Right? Hey, I need better benefits for my kids. I need, you know, life happens. Things change. Right? So we want to be wise, but make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. That's what God is after. Why do you want to improve your life? Why do you do these things? Well, if you have the right reasons, then God's going to watch out for you. Amen? So do the right thing for the right reasons all the time. Ask yourself this question, why am I upgrading? Why am I upgrading? Then answer the question. Then we're going to look at four attitudes that please God. Four attitudes that please God. Number one is to be free from the love of money. So Hebrews 13:5 talks about to be free from the love of money. In essence, he's simply saying, don't be emotionally attached to it. Be free from the desire or love or passion for it. Again, if I see God as the owner and me the manager, I'm just free to manage his stuff. There's no emotional attachment to it. I can sell anything I have at any given time. There's no attachment to things in this life. That makes sense? I'm free. And that's what God is after. Just I want you to be free. Free to love me, free to love other people, free to bless people if you want to do that. Be free. Don't let it master you. Don't be a slave to money. It's terrible, right? It's a terrible master. In that same verse in Hebrews 13, it says, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. Not money is my helper. Now, money does help sometimes, right? But the Lord is my helper. I'm dependent on God more than I am anything else. And that's where we have to be. Jesus is Lord, and I'm going to be faithful to what he's given to me. I want to love him and serve him first and foremost. I want to be free. It's not controlling me. I have no emotional attachments to it. Amen? Be godly and content. Paul talks about that verse 6. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. It's great gain. So if you want to be rich, be content. Now again, we're talking about, like, well, what about improving your life? Do it for the right reasons. But just be content. So I want to be thankful. I want to be appreciative of all that God gives to me. That helps me kill covetousness. That helps me knock down desires, those envies, things that happen in my life and my heart, my thoughts. You know, sometimes I kind of window shop. I drive by places and I like look at other cars. Like, man, I like to have a better car, but it's just like I'm thinking, nah, I'm all right. So you have to work that mentality in your mind, right? I'm thankful for what I have. It gets me to A to B. The AC works. The heat works, especially in the winter. I'm good. I'm content. So contentment is a settled peace within of what I've been given. I have no wrong desires for anything else out there. And then thirdly, be generous and willing to share. That also kills covetousness and envy when I'm free to give it. There's a blessing when I help be a blessing to other people. Why? Because I'm thinking about meeting their needs, not my needs. And so we have your giving statements at the end of in the Connection Center, and also our year-end financial statements for the church of the record of the giving. So we provide that every year for the church because we want our finances to be transparent. Hey, this is what God brought in. This is what we were able to spend and the projects that we have them done. And so around our building, you'll say, hey, we're upgrading the carpet. We're upgrading some doors and all these kinds of things that we needed to. And that takes money to do so. And so we just appreciate your generosity. It's like, wow, in this past year, we've given more than we ever have. In the middle of the hardest times in history, you've been giving more. And so I'm thankful for that, right? We want to be wise stewards with that, right? So thank you for your generosity. Thank you so much for that. Then lastly, God wants us to have a faithful and wise attitude. Now, I want to read these verses in Proverbs 4. Solomon is talking to his sons here. He's talking to his family, his grandkids, all these kinds of things. And he's passing on wisdom. He's learning wisdom, and he's passing it on to us. So if you want to be financially principled, study Proverbs. If you want to be relationally principled, study Proverbs, right? He's passing on a lot of wisdom here. Notice he says, listen, my sons, pay instruction. He goes, pay attention to my father's instruction. Gain understanding, buy it at all costs. He goes, I'm going to give you some sound learning here. Do not forsake my teaching. Keep going. He goes, when I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and only a child to my mother. Keep going. He taught me this. He goes, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Notice verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. And so I believe it's in verse 4. I don't know why I'm messing up that verse. But it says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Maybe it's chapter 3. It's chapter 3. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. And so there's two aspects to life that God is looking for. Love and faithfulness. Remember, love God, love other people. Then what? Be faithful. He says, then God's favor will be upon your life. If you have those two things, those two qualities, right? Just love and faithfulness. Then God will cause you to prosper. But you just focus on that. Don't focus on the prosper part. Focus on God part. Amen? Just focus on that. Why? Because we're going to have to give an account of everything that he's given to us. So in Luke 16, it talks about the parable of the unwise servant. So Jesus calls him in. He has to give an account. He's like, hey, it's been heard that you've been wasting my possession. It's like, whoa, guy lost his job. excuse, I mean, he was financially wasn't doing well with the master's money. And Jesus gives some principles in Luke 16, this principle. He says, if you can't be faithful with little, I can't trust you with more. So when it comes to stuff, it's like, God, can I trust you? And God's looking at us like, no, can I trust you? If it's mine, I need to trust you, be able to trust you to get it from A to B, right? So if it's his and I'm just a manager of it and I want to be wise and faithful with it, I want to be trustworthy with it. That makes sense? And then God will trust me with more. And trust me with more. There was a business guy years ago, this is an old story, but there were some years where he really prospered in his business, and during that time frame he heard about a need of a Bible college being built in Africa. And so he went to this missions conference and he heard that and he's like, man, God's really blessed me. I think God's tugging at my heart. I'm going to invest in this Bible college. It's going to be a huge thing to reach more people and plant churches in Africa where it's needed. So he gave. The next years after that were very lean. He was hardly making it. Business was like, man, it wasn't good. But at the end of his life, he looks back and he goes, you know that investment that I made? And the college brought him back to see what his money had done. They flew him to Africa. And he goes, wow, what I have given is the only thing that I have left. So for that period of time, God was preparing him, blessing him for that investment. It started to click in with him. It was like, oh, now I see what God has done. But I was faithful and I listened, and I invested in his kingdom. Because Paul says we can't take nothing with us, right? But we can lay up treasures, a firm foundation for the coming age. So the key question is, can God trust you with more? We need to be wise. You know why you don't lend money to leprechauns? Here's a little nugget of wisdom. They're always running a little short. They're always... Had to get you to laugh. I had a lot of serious moments right there. So always run a little short. Lastly, is there a roadmap that God gives us to help us be faithful and wise? Absolutely. And this is the thing I love about God. God doesn't just say, hey, I need you to be faithful, but he doesn't give you a plan to do it. He always gives you a plan and principles to follow. Amen? And there's just three. But there's freedom within those boundaries, as we're going to see. And so this next principle is the principle, the 80-20 rule, the 80-10-10, 80-20 rule. Simply means to live below your means. Don't live right at your means. Don't live above your means, right? You can't spend more than you're coming in, right? That never works. So live below your means, be principled, have a math ratio to guide you, right? And so this is the principle we use for our church and our leadership. We want to use this principle, but hey, on the giving side, we can give more if God blesses us. We have that freedom to do so, right? And so if we set a budget, hey, more has come in, hey, let's be a blessing. And that's what the whole blessing fund is all about. We have given over $35,000 last year to mission projects and people in need. Isn't that awesome? I think that's awesome. And so the 80-20 rule. So think of it this way. I want to live on 80%, save 10%, give 10%. So the word tithe just means tenth. So if God wants that require me, and it's not necessarily a new covenant requirement, God wants us to give of a cheerful heart, right? Purpose in your heart what to give. Now these are just guidelines to help you get to a certain part. Now, you can always work your ratios. It's like, hey, I'm going to live off 70%, give 20, save 10. You can live off 60. You can live off 50. You can live off 20% and give the rest away if you want. It all depends on where you're at in life, right? And what God has blessed you with. So don't feel like this rule is like the end-all rule. No, you can make your own guidelines. You're free to do that. Amen? You're free to do that. So have financial margin so you can save and you can be generous as well. All right. Secondly, lay up treasure in heaven. Jesus talked about that in Matthew 6. Paul talks about it in 1 Timothy 6. And so what he's simply saying is this: do you invest in heaven's kingdom more than the earthly kingdom? Lay up treasure. It's like, where are you? Where's your final destination? Where's your eternal retirement plan? Well, we say for our earthly retirement, right? We put it way back. We invest and all those kinds of things for that. But guess what? God's like, just think a little bigger than that. Invest in that heavenly kingdom. And so, it's like I set aside so much for my retirement a year. And so here's the thing. Does your earthly retirement, is it, you put more in that than you do your heavenly retirement? Something to think about. Jesus says, lay up treasure. Where your heart's at, where's your treasure at? Right? Think about that. Do I give more to my mortgage than I do to Jesus? It's like, I want to get there someday. That would be great, right? Why? Because my heavenly home is worth more than my earthly home. But we have to be principled with that. We have to have goals and guides like, God, I want to show you how much I love you. And here's how you can do that. You're free to do that, okay? Tell your neighbor, you're free to do that. Guess what? There's no, God gives, he gives the principles, and it's like, what do you want to do with it? That makes sense? He gives you freedom within the box. Save up for emergencies. It's like, well, how much should I save? You know, 3 to 6 months, fill that bucket up, then invest the rest you want. Invest it. Give it away. Be wise with it, right? And then lay up, build up for the future. Proverbs 13:22 says, a righteous person leaves behind an inheritance for his children's children. So he's thinking long term, but he's sacrificing now for later. So Dave Ramsey says, sacrifice now, win later. Not just for you, but for generations to come. A righteous man does that. That's wisdom there. So Proverbs is rich in wisdom. There's a guy who came over from the Mayflower, helped found a certain city in our country. And what he did, he left behind a trust. He put $100, which was big in his day, $100 in a trust, and just put it in the savings. He says, the city will cash this in 200 years. 200 years. It's like, man, we got to be patient on that one. But you know what it accrued up over 200 years? Over $2 million. But he just invested $100. But he was thinking what? Long term. It's going to build, it's going to have interest, all of these things. It's going to bless the city that we helped start. It's small now, but it's going to be bigger later. But that's long term planning. We've got to have that wisdom, right? We've got to have that wisdom. God is encouraging us to do so. That's just being wise, right? It's just being wise. Young parents, teach your kids about money early. There was a person who came to me when we got married early. Man, we knocked out our school loans. We kicked Fannie Mae out of the house, right? And sometimes you got to do that. This life just gives you bills, and you're invest, but you're investing in your work. You're investing in your future, right? So you're going to have school loans, but kick Fannie Mae out of the house as soon as you can. You don't need to be married to two women. Okay, but he's like, hey, he's like, he sat down with us and he's like, hey, do you have something for your education? Do you have something for this? And we were just like, it caused us to think. It's like, yeah, we're young, we got married, but yeah, we got to have a plan. Got to have a plan. And the earlier you invest, the better off you're going to be. The later you invest, man, you're just playing catch up. So teach your kids early. Parents, sacrifice now for them and for your grandkids. Amen. Leave something behind that's going to be a blessing to them. God's always teaching us. He's testing us to see what's in our hearts. He's always doing that. And so the key question is, what's in our heart? If I love God, then I want to serve God. I want to be wise with what He's given to me. I want to be faithful in all that He has for me. Sacrifice now, win later. And so when we get to heaven, I want to hear those words from the Lord, right? Good and faithful steward. Welcome into the joy of the Lord. You know, the disciples kept asking Jesus about earthly stuff. Hey, we're following you. We gave up everything to follow you. What are we going to get? And Jesus always kept reminding him, guys, it's always later. It's not now. It's always later. But if you follow his principles, you can be blessed now too. That makes sense? He wants you to live a worry-free life, but a wise life. He wants you to have that peace within, that contentment and gratitude. It's like, God, I'm so thankful. If you would trust me with more, I want to give more. I want to have that kind of attitude. I want to pay things off so I can invest more. I want to think long term. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for just guiding us through your word on attitudes that we should avoid and attitudes that we should have and a plan to work. So, Lord, we thank you so much for just helping us when it comes to just the uncertainties of life, to have a plan that's certain, have a plan that helps us be prosperous in you, because we want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I've trusted you with little, I can trust you with more. And so we want to be that church that is faithful and trustworthy to where we can bless and reach further and further to help spread the gospel, to help spread your fame throughout the whole earth. Lord, that's our goal. That's our heart. And thank you, Lord, for your people. Thank you for your hand of provision these past couple of years. It's been very difficult. But also, Lord, we've seen some great blessing. And Lord, help guide us, Lord. Help us go home and just guide us in thinking through all this today so we can be better for you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.